This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Jesus, light of the world, break into our world that we may truly see you, follow you, and reflect you in all that we say and do. Come, O Lord, and be our light, that we may be willing followers, that you may lead us. Amen. Good morning. How many of us are introduced to others by stating what or who we are not? Certainly, it is not a common way to introduce anyone to anyone else. Growing up with three brothers, I was one who knew that I was not an athlete and I was not a hunter. I remember the time that perhaps I was about 8 or 9, and my dad was determined that I was going to learn to play baseball like the two brothers that were very close to me in age. My mother was at odds with him about this, but as we know, back in those days, fathers knew best. So my dad puts me out into the center field with a glove, and he, from the sidelines of first base, is hitting balls to me. And he keeps yelling out to me, "Keep your eye on the ball," as I had some horrible mistakes, couldn't even catch the ball. Finally, he yelled out, "Get under it and just keep your eye on the ball." Well, I did, literally. I saw that hard ball falling out of the sky as if it were in slow motion, and suddenly there it is, and it caught me between the eyes. Thank heavens there was no broken nose, but there were two big black shiners that reminded my dad for days that I was not a baseball player. In today's gospel, it is a gospel that we know in many times and many ways Jesus presents himself and talks about, "I am. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life. I am the life and the resurrection." It begins out beautifully with those metaphors, and the Greek word for "I am," ergo emei, means literally "I am." And each time Jesus is using that, he is using God's name as we know it from Moses and from the book of Exodus. Jesus is making reference to himself as being of God. But as we see in this gospel, the figure of John the Baptist that we focus on again with this third week of Advent, we find that the Baptist, however, unlike Jesus, presents himself by saying, "I am not." Now, John begins with that beautiful poetic verse that's so familiar to us with the opening of this gospel by stating, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God with God, and the Word was God." But as soon as we come to the sixth verse of that very opening chapter, we switch to the image of John the Baptist, and he's introduced simply as John, as if we already know who he is. John, like Jesus, is sent from God. But the author speaks of him not in that poetry that we had referring to Jesus, but with prose. There is a literary change, and it is intentional. And the words that are spoken are intentional, very explicit regarding who John is. The words are very clear. Great though John may be, he is John the Lesser. And Jesus is Jesus the Greater. So the author of this fourth gospel takes no chances in being misunderstood. His intention is for us to realize from the very beginning that John the Baptist is simply a witness, nothing more. Jesus is the main character here, and John only has a supporting role. The reason for this repeated emphasis of John's subordinate status is very simple to understand when we realize some history here. John the Baptist is very famous. He is a popular figure. He's a charismatic individual who is drawing people near and far. Society has not seen, the people of God have not witnessed a man like this for almost 400 years. His preaching is outstanding. His character draws them because they are spiritually hungry. He is popular. John the Baptist has followers. He has his disciples, as well as Jesus. And perhaps there is some confusion here, perhaps some rivalry going on. In fact, all four Gospels make reference to that fact. Decades later, when Paul encounters John the Baptist's disciples in the city of Ephesus that we find mentioned in the book of Acts, we find that those disciples were ignorant of Jesus until Paul came onto the scene. The Jewish historian Josephus from the first century records a great deal of information in his writings about John the Baptist, much more than there is stated about Jesus of Nazareth. So the author of this gospel realizes that perhaps there is some competition going on here between John and Jesus all the way to the end of the first century as he is now writing his gospel. And so we find that through this competition, he begins to emphasize and make it very clear that John, yes, is sent by God, but he is subordinate to Jesus. And all four Gospels agree on that point and make that a banner for us to know. So therefore, we can assume that one of the major purposes of John's Gospel is to make it very clear from the beginning as to who John the Baptist is not. A couple of verses after what we read today in the gospel, we discover Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus was the light. Therefore, John is not the light. And then in response to that first challenge from the priests and the Levites that have come from Jerusalem that we read today, John does not answer by stating who he is. He simply begins to talk about what he is not. He answered them telling, "I am not the Messiah." Obviously, some of the people thought he was because of his popularity, but he makes it strong. "I am not the Messiah." "Well, then, are you Elijah?" "No, I am not." "Are you the prophet?" "No, I am not." Finally, though, he begins to reveal who he truly is. And we hear it as a response to that challenge from the Pharisees and the Levites as he responds by saying, "Yes, I deny that I'm Elijah and that I'm the prophet and that I'm not the Messiah. Rather, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.'" On the heels of that response comes a second challenge. "Well, then, if you are not the prophet, then why are you baptizing?" And again to this, John responds by putting the focus where it needs to be, on the one who is coming after me, and then speaking humbly of himself, not being worthy to even untie the sandals. To understand what John is saying with these words of being a voice crying in the wilderness, we must realize that he is quoting from the Old Testament, from the writings of Jewish scripture of which the people are familiar. Centuries earlier, the people of God, the Israelites, were in captivity to the Babylonians. Jerusalem had been destroyed, the people had been carried away, and are made to be slaves. It's a dark time. The people have little hope. They begin to realize how strong the Babylonians are and how weak they are, and they begin to lament, "Is that all we are ever meant to be as slaves? Our history shows over and over again we have been slaves." But in that dark time, suddenly comes Isaiah. And Isaiah begins to speak to them. And he says simply, in the wilderness, that is, between the land that is between here and Jerusalem, this wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for your God. And so with that message, Isaiah realizes that the valleys shall be raised, the mountains lowered, and the rough places shall be made plain, so that there will be a smooth path for the Savior to come. In other words, he's telling the people of God, do not lose hope. Do not lose faith. God is coming to save you. And so he prepares them to prepare a highway for the Lord. Now, Isaiah was telling the people that God would save them. And God did save them. Because within time, Cyrus, the great king of Persia, came and conquered the Babylonians. And as a very different king, rather than putting those Jewish people into slavery, he set them free and let them go back to their land to build Jerusalem and their temple once again. So when these Levites and these Pharisees come and ask John to tell them something about who he is, he quotes Isaiah, telling them that God indeed is coming to save us. He is that new voice crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, the one who is to come after me, Jesus. And so we learn that whatever John did, wherever he went, whatever he said or did, he pointed to Jesus, the one who is able to save them. And so what we realize in our reading this day is that what is revealed about what John is not is indeed important. But of greater significance is what he is. And that, my brothers and sisters, is good news for us today, because what he shares about what he is also sharing something about you and me as followers of Christ. John was sent by God. John had an important role to play. You and I are also sent by God, and we too have a very important role to play in life. A major point of the text reveals that John is one who gives testimony to the light. In other words, John the Baptist's mission was to point to Jesus, to allow people to see that light, and to allow that light to reflect through them that they may know Jesus and be transformed by his love. And we must admire John for his courage, because we know that he was dealing with hostile people who challenged him. But he pulled no punches when it came to point people to Jesus. Jesus is to be made known as the one who will save us. So what we learn from this text today during this third Sunday of Advent is that John is a model for you and me to follow. And by virtue of our own baptism, the fact that we have been brought to the waters of salvation, where we have been empowered, and where we have been gifted and anointed, we too are called out into this world, this wilderness, to give testimony to the light, just as John had done. And so we as the church, as individuals and corporately, are called to give witness to that light in all that we say and in all that we do. John is a model that helps us to realize that this change is something that is deep and profound. To simply change on the outside is only temporary. Like John, it needs to be a deep internal change that transforms us truly to become the light of Christ, that we reflect that light that comes to us, to this broken world that cries out for healing. Like John the Baptist, to this modern world and to the wilderness around us, we are called to point others to Christ and to transform inside that we may truly reflect and be the light. So like John, we are called people to point to Christ. And it is my prayer this day, throughout Advent and each day of our lives, that we realize we are not the light. Rather, we reflect the light of Him who comes to save us and to lead us. Thanks be to God for that gift. Amen.